Thank you, Arvita. And Cheryl. I always thank Cheryl. Our scripture today is in Matthew 6. We're doing the Sermon on the Mount, as most of you already know, and we've been progressing through it. There is a lot of information and teaching in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Those are the chapters that are designated as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, 1 through 8. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do that so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. May the Lord God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Sounding your own trumpet. There is a saying, I want to say in Cheryl's family because not mine, but I learned it quickly because I heard it quite often even while we were courting. And it went something like this: He who does not toot his own trumpet, it shall not be tooted. You probably have a similar phrase to that in your home also. Men like praise. We operate for praise. We work for praise. We strive for people to notice us. That's why we go on America's Got Talent, and I won't be on there, but people who have talent, they want to be noticed, and they want to share their talent with the world. People want recognition. That's why if you are an athlete, you want to win, or whatever vocation you're in, you want praise. Now, there's nothing wrong with praise. Let me underscore that. But the issue is not that men praise you. The issue is that you praise yourself, that you are boasting and you are coveting it and desiring it and you are working for it. Now in chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had already kind of rebuked the Pharisees with all of their teachings because they were coming along. Jesus said, You have heard. And that was the teaching of the Pharisees. The Pharisees say, we're going to teach this, and this is the interpretation, and this is what you follow. And then Jesus would respond by, it is written, it is written, it is written, because he was giving them the actual written word of God, the actual interpretation, as it were, from God himself. And he was pointing out their many, many flaws. And I guarantee you they did not appreciate it. Now, John MacArthur writes or summarizes chapter 5 this way. In Matthew 5, 21 through 48, it focuses on the teaching of the law, on what men believe, and 6, 1 through 18 focuses on the practice of the law, what men do. The first section emphasizes the inner moral righteousness representative of the illustrations regarding murder, adultery, divorce, oaths, revenge, and love. This second section emphasizes outward formal righteousness, giving three illustrations from religious activity. And of course, the Pharisees had perverted all of them. Now, to be honest, we pervert them even today. And we don't like to acknowledge that, but God hit the nail right on the head, and he's used three illustrations here to say how and teach how the Pharisees were perverting religious activity in the area of almsgiving, praying, and fasting. And he says, you are actually doing this, that is the Pharisees, and possibly us, we do these things because we will be recognized for doing them. We do them for God, for our recognition. And sometimes it takes a mature believer to sometimes separate the distinction. For example, some people are gifted with music. The Lord did not gift me with music. That's why I married Cheryl. She's gifted in that way. So everything that she does in music, I get credit for because I married her. But she was gifted that way. There are some people who are gifted that way, and they bless other believers with their gift. And we are so blessed when they sing and play for us. And of course, God blesses them by, you know. But if they do it, and their motivation is to bless God and to glorify God, and others would be blessed by their gift, God says, that's great. That's what he wants. But you see, a lot of us are in the business of we want to perform our best, and then we want people to pat us on the back and said, you're the best. You did it. You know, and if they don't get that, they kind of feel let down. They didn't win the applause or the praise of men. And that was why they were doing it. And sometimes you have to understand that that's a fine distinction, because we do want to do our best and we do appreciate recognition. But our motivation should be for the love of God. So Jesus is kind of telling the listeners and telling the Pharisees, he says, why are you doing these religious things? Are you doing them for God and for God's glory? And so that is significant. That is important. So he begins by saying, if we're looking in the text here, the first word, beware. Beware is an introductory warning to what follows. Be careful. You might fall into a trap. We put signs up on the road and say, you know, danger ahead, you know, in a sense, to alert people. That's what the word beware, in a sense, means. Actually, literally, it means to watch carefully with the mind, to be on your guard, to take heed. So God is telling us then, beware of your motivation when you use your gifts, when you serve him, when you do things for God. Beware. Check your motivation. And be careful, because God says if you do a great job and you get a standing ovation and that's what you were working for, you got your reward. So don't expect when you go to heaven and you stand before Jesus, he's going to pat you on the back and say, oh, remember that concert and that solo? That was so great. He's not even going to have it on the list there, because you've already got your reward down here. So he says, be very careful. And that applies to us today also. And in fact, the word, in a sense, if you go on, as we read here, it says, beware of practicing your righteousness. See the word there, it says to be noticed before men. It's interesting, in the Greek, and most of us don't read Greek, actually is theomai, and it's a special word which means to practice, to be seen, to do your thing, to be seen. So when you're practicing it or doing it or performing it, you need an audience. And in fact, the Pharisees actually had a teaching that if there was no audience, there was no value in doing good works. True. So what they were saying is, if you're not going to get recognition, if people don't see you doing this good thing, don't bother, because there's no praise in it. There's no reward in it. And Jesus is saying, hey, you need to be careful there. You need to keep doing good works. Now, people will say, well, isn't this kind of contradictory? He's saying, be careful of doing good works so people will not recognize, you know, in a sense, you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for God. But over here, earlier it says, in 5:16, it says that you are to do your good works before men. Isn't that a little contradictory? And actually, no, if you go into the original, as I pointed out, the one word is, the intent is to do it before men. The other word is, previously, in the other verse, 5:16, it means to be seen. Yes, you need to be seen doing good things for God, but it's not for you. So, when we do good things for God in the community, it's not a sin to be recognized and people say, hey, they did that for God. And the point is, yeah, you did it for God. Over here, he says, be careful when you do it and perform it for you. You're saying it's for God, but and God sees the heart. And so, they're not a contradictory. It's fully in agreement. That's the key, is the motivation. So God does want people to see us serving Him. God wants us to demonstrate love for one another so the community knows that God is love and we're loving. But we need to do it for God. And that's where our love is. Now God assumes then, as in this text, that we're going to do good things for God. That is, we're going to do good works. We're not going to go out and rob banks, but we're going to help the poor. We're going to do good things. He assumes that in verses, actually, verse 2, verse 5, verse 16. So he doesn't say, if you do good things. He actually says, when. So in the text is, he's expecting us when we give alms, which is technically money, but it includes more than money. I mean, it includes doing good things. So sometimes you might buy the thing yourself and use the product to help people, so you didn't directly give them money, but you did good things. So doing acts of kindness, helping people who are hurting, as well as giving to the church, or as they did then in the synagogue. They gave money to help the poor. So, in a sense, why are you giving? And it's for the glory of God. Now, Dwight Pentecost writes, now the Pharisees had concluded that if a man gave, but gave in secret, he lost all benefit from giving. There must be an audience before one could gain any benefit from God through the giving. Thus, they concluded they lost gains if there were no spectators. The Pharisees were not giving from a heart of love, but actually were giving for their own benefit. They gave alms because they loved praise. So their motivation was shot. They were not doing it because they loved God. Now that's where Jesus inserts the illustration of being careful to blow or to sound your trumpet before men. And people might do that today. We might say, you know, and no, only God knows the heart, but we might go on Facebook and say, I'm giving money for this good cause. And we've got a ton of good causes and needs in the community. People are out raising money for blank children's hospital, which is a good thing. But if you go on and you want the news media there and you want to hold up the check and say, our business gave $30,000 to blank, please take a picture of it, please let the community know, that you understand their reasoning is, yeah, they did a good thing, But they're also thinking it's good for us and it's good for business, it's good for me. People will say, I support that cause, and if they do that, I'm going to buy their product, I'm going to be their customer, I'm going to be their client. So it kind of is hand in glove. And so God is saying to us, hey, don't go and get your, don't call Channel 13 and Channel 8 and say, get your news crew down here to see what I'm doing. That's what the Pharisees did. That's what they taught. But God is saying, hey, give the money, but do it secretly. Just do it because it needs to be done. God knows what you're doing in secret. God knows that you gave the money. So some people kind of wonder then, well, how do we really interpret this passage? Because he says, sounding your trumpet before men. So some people take it literally and say, well, the Pharisees had people who actually blew literal trumpets, sort of like in those Middle Ages when they have the knights dueling and all those contests going on and they're blowing the trumpets. So some people say that's literally what they did. They don't have any record of that, but that's what they think was being done. Some suggest that they had like offering, we would call them offering plates, and there's all different kinds of those. But as you would go in the synagogue, some people believe that they had these brass, what they would call containers in the shape of a trumpet. And at each door, as people would come in, at the top of the trumpet, you could drop in your coins. And of course, when you dropped in your coins, it would clang, clang, clang and make a noise, and people would definitely want to turn and look and say, oh, and if you put in a lot of coins, da-da-da-da, it's like a coin counter. You know, if you ever take money to a coin counter and pour that, you know, well, that's the whole idea. You wanted to make as much clanging as you could so people could turn and say, oh, look how much he's giving to the synagogue, to the poor. And then some suggest that Jesus was just using it as a figure, a speech, as we would do today. And so he didn't actually mean somebody was blowing a trumpet, just like our phrase in Cheryl's family. We're not talking about a literal horn where somebody's tooting it and blowing it. No, it's like just a figure of speech. You're doing it for your own recognition. And I would suggest that might be the meaning there. You'll notice that when Jesus says to them, they have their reward in full, you'll notice he uses the word have, which is interesting. We just translate it as have, but in the original Greek, it was actually a business term for paid in full. So the word have there means they received a receipt or acknowledgement of being paid in full. It's like when you pay off your mortgage, the loan company, the bank will send you a notice, say, paid in full, and you kind of rejoice that your mortgage has been paid in full. That's the whole idea here, is God says, you've got your reward, and it's paid in full. So, folks, if you're doing it for men, God says, hey, you do get recognition. You get it down here, and you're paid in full. So remember, you're not going to get any recognition when you stand before God, in a sense. So you have to understand that. Now, what he says, as I mentioned previously, when he says don't allow people to see what you do, he means that you can put a check in. The whole idea is not to announce and let it be known how much it is and what you are doing for God. So he says to do it, in a sense, you can do things publicly for God, but it's not in the sense that you're giving them the details, giving them the information so you will benefit from it. Then he says to the Pharisees who also, and that was in the area of giving, he talks about praying. And so he says, the Pharisees love to run around town and be praying in public. Now, I'm not against praying in public. I pray when I drive. You can pray when you jog. but you don't have to, in a sense, move your lips or close your eyes. You can just pray because you're focusing on God and talking to Him in your heart, and you know that you're talking to Him in your heart. The whole idea is that the Pharisees would stop on the street corner, they would go down to University and Hubble, and then when they had an audience or when the cars were stopped, they would lift up their hands and they would shout or be very vocal in a way where obviously people would hear them praying. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying publicly. Don't misunderstand. We pray publicly here and share. But the whole point is they're going out in public to be recognized for praying. And again, Jesus says, well, that's a waste of time. That's not what I've been telling you to do. And actually, in essence, he says that later on when he talks about going into your prayer closet, which is actually private and not to be public. But he moves on, actually, and he says, and don't do it with a lot of babbling and vain repetitions. Now, hopefully most of us, now I don't know, you know, and that doesn't mean you can't ask twice for the same thing. Babbling and vain repetitions is usually a phrase or a concept where you say something over and over and over and over again. Abracadabra, abracadabra. That would be more like a mantra, but the whole idea is you say some kind of phrase or word over and over again. And people do that today. And I'm hopefully not going to get picked on too strongly. Now, I pastored in Philadelphia for 8 years. In fact, Philadelphia could swallow up the entire state of Iowa, I believe, by population. But Philadelphia was 50%, at least when I lived there, Roman Catholic. And probably, I'm going to guess, 70% of the people who were in the congregation I pastored were raised Catholic. I mean, statistically, it was just going to be that way. They got saved and came out of the Catholic Church, and then they came to the Lord. And so I learned a whole lot about Roman Catholicism. Really, I probably know a ton of doctrine about Roman Catholicism. But anyway, there was this one lady who was in our church, and her mother was super, super religious. She was Roman Catholic and raised that way. And she said, Pastor, I try and share the gospel with my mom, but I can't get through because my mom just says, oh, honey, I pray, I pray every day. And then she'd get out what they would call a rosary. Now, I don't know if you've all seen or had a rosary. They would get that rosary out. Rosary is a lot of beads, and it's they call it Hail Mary, Mother of God. It's a lengthy thing. It's a prayer that they go through, and they recite it. And she would say, my mom would recite the rosary 80 to 100 times every day. Hey, folks, I'll tell you, check it out. That's a lot of praying. Those are a lot of words. And it was meaningless repetition. She just said it. She, you know, as a routine, you know, she'd get that a bit. And Jesus would actually come along and he would say, hey, that's a waste of time. In fact, that's a waste of words. I mean, the whole thing is probably theologically wrong anyway. But the whole point is people operate that way. We operate with vain repetitions, with babblings in various ways. You know, people have their little phrases that they want to say over and over again. And they're here today, and they were in the Old Testament. And so people actually could relate to them. Let me read to you a familiar passage, but I want to illustrate what I'm saying so you know I'm telling you biblical truth. 1 Kings 18, 26 through 30. Now this is where they went up on Mount Carmel. Elijah was having this contest with the prophets of the Baal worshippers and all those people who worship Baal. and he with the one true God. And they both had two altars with no fire, and they were supposed to pray that their fire would come down and get their altar, and then Elijah would pray and come down. It was a contest, and they went first. Okay. Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from the morning until noon, so about 6 hours, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped about on the altar which they made. It came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Call out with a loud voice, for he is a god. Either he is occupied or gone aside or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened. So they cried with a loud voice and cut themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, Come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. And if you're familiar with the passage, Elijah just gets up and prays a short little prayer and says, Let's show these people God. And in a sense, I'm paraphrasing. And God zaps it, and it's gone, burned up. And that's with Elijah pouring gallons and gallons and gallons of water on the altar. And then the people, he said, Hey, okay, guy, who's God and who's not? And then the people ran and killed all the prophets of Baal. I guess they were on the wrong side then. But I use that to illustrate people, vain repetitions is of no value. Babblings are of no value. So now remember, he's not rebuking people for praying publicly. He's rebuking them because their motivation is wrong. But in this illustration, God is saying you need to be praying in private. And when you pray in private, let's call it your prayer closet. I don't know if people actually have prayer closets today. Some people literally have a place where they do what we would call their quiet time. They would do their devotions. It can be anywhere in your home, but it's a special place where they set aside and they speak to God on a daily basis. And God says, that's good. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, to have a place where you pray to God privately. And then God, who hears privately, answers, and you are rewarded, as it were, because God sees in secret. And we need to realize that. Now again, he's not putting down public prayer, but he's saying we need to be praying privately, not for public recognition where people will pat us on the back and say, oh, he's such a holy person because he prays. Not so. A lot of people, as we say, can utter words and babblings, but there is no value in them. So what we're learning here now, Jesus is teaching us as today, as well as them back then, that we need to serve him and do good things, but what is your motivation? Are you doing it for men? You know, and I suspect, you know, and I'm glad God is the judge and I am not, but I suspect there are people who do it because they need people to say to them, great job. And they do a great job, but they're not doing it for God. They're doing it for them. And some might even be self-deceived, self-deluded. Make sure your motivation is for God. I'm not saying don't do good things and don't do things that people can't see publicly. Make sure your heart is right and you're doing it for the Lord. And you also need to be faithful in prayer. And on this emphasis, yes, there is a time to pray publicly, and there is a time to pray privately. So you look at your relationship with God and how it is. And so I challenge each of us to have a special prayer time where you talk privately with the Lord. Let's just stand now and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what we are learning here on the Sermon on the Mount. Help us to serve you with the proper motivation. We do want to give you glory. The glory is all to God. And help us to pray, and to pray faithfully and in secret, so you will know our hearts and we will know you. In your name we pray. Amen.